Welcome to MMA on the Rocks. My name is Bill Welker. You are listening to Picks and Pours 27. No regular episode this week as it was Mother's Day. So obviously I was occupied with the family, and I hope you all were too. I hope everybody treated their mothers right this past weekend. And I hope all of you mothers out there who are doing it right had a fantastic day. I always have to specify because I feel like on Father's Day, there's a lot of talk about there's deadbeat dads and things like that, and fathers getting put down, stuff like that. There's some bad mothers out there too, but there's a lot of wonderful mothers. So I hope all of you wonderful mothers had a wonderful Mother's Day. Today is Thursday, May 16th. And just like that, you blink your eyes, May's half over. We are looking at going back to Vegas this week, UFC Vegas 92, I think. That's what I have written down here anyway, but I feel like we've already done 92, so I might be wrong. Before we get into that, though, let me introduce from all the way across town, the owner of a brand new truck, Matt Mechanic.
What's up, Bill? I disagree, and I think we should dedicate this episode to shitty mothers.
Here's to all you shitty mothers.
Yeah.
Somebody has to care about you.
Yeah, somebody's got to care.
All right. So, you're how's it feel sitting up high off the ground while you're driving around this Florida thing. Streets now?
You know, I had some trucks when I was up in Ohio, including a purple Ford Ranger, which was pretty sweet. But yeah, it's been a while, and I was driving over the Bayside Bridge to training tonight, and I was just like looking at the top of cars, and I'm like, holy shit. It's going to take some getting used to. I'm used to driving for the last 12 years, I've driven a Volkswagen GTI. So I try to take the turns at the GTI speed, and I just throw the dog across the back seat. I got to start getting better at that. But
nice. At least you don't turn the thing over.
Yeah, I don't know. Not a Brendan Schaub, but a little more seat time than he does, I think. Learn to drive in a GMC Sierra.
What was his thing? He just wasn't used to driving trucks.
He broke a one of the cardinal rules that, you know, he probably wasn't taught, but yeah, you know, he was also, you know, he has that was a very high power truck and off-roading conditions, and you start turning off traction control, you better know what you're doing, and he just made a big boo-boo. But
what was the cardinal rule that he broke?
Don't turn traction control off if you don't know what the hell you're doing.
Ah.
You know, and that goes for any vehicle, you know, especially if you start adding horsepower, you know. Traction control is there for a reason, and I don't recommend turning it off unless you're in a large, flat parking lot.
Okay. I won't.
I don't take you as the taking traction control off kind of guy, though.
No, man. You see my car, drive a fucking minivan. I'm not looking to go off-roading anytime soon. The most you'll see me do is zipping into the last parking space at Costco.
Yeah, or you might hit that 15 or 10 mile an hour speed bump at 15, right?
Yeah, I might. If I'm feeling extra crazy, if I heard they have Eagle Rare at the Costco liquor store, I might do that. But
having a truck fits my driving style much better than a GTI. I'm not a speeder. I'm the guy in the lane going the speed limit. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, so. I'm kind of like that too. What a bunch of old fucks we are.
Yeah, well, one of my favorite things to do is to get passed by some aggressive driver and then make it a mile down the road on U.S. Highway 19, and there they are sitting at a stoplight beside you, and you just get a wave at them. I'm like, hey.
Yeah. I just saw a meme about that today, when somebody zips past you and then you end up at the same traffic light.
Yeah.
In any case, I'm sitting here. I got some ice on my leg, and I've started getting back into hard sparring recently with the young competition boys at the gym. And that's not even how I got hurt. I was going with one of my level one students in my Muay Thai clinch class, and I went for a foot sweep on him, and he accidentally kicked my leg and we went shin to shin. Now my shin's all swollen. Ouch. So it's not even, it's never, I've never gotten an injury from hard sparring. Now maybe like got my bell rung a few times, but never gotten badly hurt. It's always doing some other dumb thing, like just rolling it open mat or just like, you know, gently sparring with the level one guys. It's never the stuff that would seem more dangerous. Or putting a cooler in my car and throwing my back out. Done that one too. Yeah. But
I think I messed up my back a little bit picking the dog up this week.
Yeah, man. Oh, this is turned into the old. We might as well become the old man grappling hour.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of martial arts, I got a little shout out to make. My
do it
main training partner for the last 3 years, Stepan Dilab. He's getting his black belt this Saturday.
Hell so yeah.
That's pretty cool. He is unfortunately having to move to Australia, unfortunately for me, but he's very excited. He's moving in 2 weeks, so he's getting his black belt I said Saturday, but it's Sunday morning. Looking forward to being there, and well-deserved.
That's pretty cool of the gym to give him his black belt knowing that he's leaving.
Well, I mean, he was ready. He's definitely ready. It's time. Everything's good. I think they moved it up like a month. They had to move up a month because of, yeah, you know, he's moving to Australia. And how hard would that be to move to Australia with four stripes on your brown belt and then convince somebody to give you one, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a rough sell. I mean, even if you are a black belt level, like as a business owner, you can't let somebody come in and be like, well, you are a black belt, but I can't just put one on you. You gotta be around our gym for a bit.
Yeah. But, you know, it might be a little early, but if anybody has anything to say, I challenge him to go roll Mr. Stepan and he will change. Your mind will be changed.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure they wouldn't doubt his abilities, but it's still a weird thing. Like somebody just joins the gym and you give them their black belt.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things that's, you know, and I.
And what if it's a different system or this or that or who knows?
Yeah. What if you don't use the.
Australians have some weird rule.
Yeah. Know. What if you don't know all the Japanese names for all the moves?
You'd be like, oh, no.
Yeah. In any case, picks and pours. I am pouring something because of some breaking news. So I'm drinking. Four roses.
I need a sound effect for breaking news, Bill.
So, can you clip that and just use that every time?
Yeah.
I just want the clip of you saying that. So Rose Namajunas is going to headline UFC Fight Night on July 13th in her home state of Colorado. Against Macy Barber. So that was some news I read today. So I decided I'll pour some Four Roses bourbon here. This is single barrel bourbon. It is 60.2% alcohol, so it's got a little kick to it. Four Roses is one of these bourbons that's super solid, and I just, for some reason, I always forget about it. And this is a buddy of mine actually brought this over for me. A couple weeks ago, and I'm like, I always enjoy Four Roses, but I never think to pick up a bottle. So I'm glad somebody else thought of it for me.
I think they might need to update their packaging a little bit. The bottle looks a bit dated.
Yeah, and it's also like, if you're like a manly bourbon drinker, and you walk into the liquor store, like you don't want something with flowers on it. You want something with like bullets and horses and,
yeah,
and
like eagles. Make it roses on a grave or something.
Yeah.
Something manly.
Yeah. Four roses on a grave.
It looks like that to me looks like a bottle you'd find at the end cap of like a Ross store on clearance.
Yeah. Like this would make a nice vase after it's empty. Put some flowers in it. It's a beautiful bottle, but it does have some manly whiskey in it.
Yeah. So is this a projection of your pick on this fight, or just?
I mean, yeah, I guess so. I was just kind of like looking. What am I gonna sip tonight? Oh, Rose just booked a fight. Let me drink four roses. But yeah, I would definitely pick Rose in this fight. And I think if it was Rose from 3 years ago, I think she would absolutely demolish her.
Yeah, Mark Fellows is in the chat. That's what we can do. Once Stepan gets over to Australia, we'll have Mark roll with him, and he'll give us a report if he's a black belt or not.
Yeah, let us know, Mark. Let us know if he's actually a black belt.
I'll send him your way.
But he also says he can call Anthony Parrish to roll with him. I don't know if we want to do that to Stepan.
I'm sure he's down. He played pro hockey for a while. He's down for anything.
In the NHL?
No, in the Czech Republic.
Ah.
So,
yeah. I remember, I'll date myself here. I used to have a hockey game for Sega Genesis, hockey video game.
Yep. I think and, I remember the same one.
And Czechoslovakia, if I remember correctly, had a pretty solid hockey team.
Yeah, they got some ice up there, I think, Bill.
It was still Czechoslovakia at the time.
Did you ever have if you had that, did you have the Streets of Rage?
Yeah, I did.
Oh man, I would play that got little motherfucker on the roller skates.
Yeah. Streets of Rage was a fun game. All right, let's get into some bets here, because that's what the people are looking. Or actually, let's talk about how you did last week with the St. Louis card.
Oh boy.
Do you have your results handy?
I've been a bit busy. I'll have to give updates for last week and this week, next week.
Okay.
Nobody get excited. I don't think we did anything good.
All right. Did you have any thoughts on the fights last week, since I didn't do a recap episode?
Yeah, I did, but it didn't have anything to be done with about any of the fights. The Joaquin Buckley call out.
That's terrible.
I disagree. This should be our hot take. I think it's the best call out he could have made.
Why?
For a fight that he's not going to even happen. He's gained 100,000 followers on his Instagram this week.
You think because of the call out?
I mean, he went from 100 to 200. What do you think?
Yeah, I guess. Sure. All right. Point taken.
And he got under DC's skin.
Oh, yeah. I saw that. Well, DC said it was a bad call out, and then Buckley fired back and told him, you called out Brock Lesnar.
That was the proper response.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's, you know, that's a fair blow for blow, I think.
Yeah.
They should call it even.
Let's get into this.
I thought Buckley's performance was great. That dude, Ruzaboyev, looked like he was two weight classes bigger than Buckley. But Buckley did a great job closing the distance. I was really impressed with his wrestling. He was taking him down at will, pretty much. And I didn't realize he had such a high takedown percentage. So apparently Buckley's got some really solid wrestling that none of us knew about. However, on the ground, positionally, he was a bit lost. There was one time, took him down right into side control, and he didn't seem to know what to do. He didn't seem to know how to pass the guard. So the jiu-jitsu concerned me a little bit. I think he probably gets away with being a big, strong dude on top and being able to wrestle. But when you get towards the top of this welterweight division and you have, you know, some serious grapplers, like they're talking about possibly Gilbert Burns facing him next. Don't take that dude to the ground.
Yeah.
But
what did you think of Chase Hooper?
Oh, he looked fantastic, and I like him at lightweight. He looks like he's starting to grow into his body a little bit, which is good because, you know, in the beginning of his UFC career when he was, 20 years old, he was just a scrawny kid, and especially, you know, those couple of fights where he took a lot of damage, it was concerning. So it was good to see him, come in with a little bit more muscle on his body and be able to hang in there with a grown man and manhandle him, so to speak. So he went from, you know, boy child to man child since his last fight.
Yeah, it brings a tear to my eye.
I got to say, the most impressive performance was probably Esteban Ribovic and that head kick of Terrence McKinney.
Yes.
Oof. That was the stuff of nightmares, man.
Yeah. I had my own money on McKinney, too.
Did you?
Yeah. And I was walking around the dog park, walking on my phone. Oh. Oh, well.
Yeah. Took you 37 seconds to lose that money.
Yep.
And that was pretty much it. Oh, Carlos Ulberg, too, was impressive. You know, Menafield just, I guess he thought he was going to be able to smother him. And, you know, Ulberg just stayed right in the pocket and landed the bigger shots. Oh, and you know what else impressed me was Diego Fadea. That beating he put on Mateusz Rybeski. Let's go with Rybeski. I mean, that dude, both his eyes were swollen shut. He was battered.
Oh, yeah. Did you see the picture of him at the hospital?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, it looked like he couldn't even see. Here I am sitting here complaining about a little swollen, like, hematoma on my shin. Could definitely be worse.
Yeah, he said something like, life's all right, or life will move on, or
yeah,
something motivational, and you're like, I don't know, bro.
Yeah.
You should lay down, I think.
I'm just going to go get my orbital bones drained now. I'll see you guys. Have a blessed day. That must have been miserable, because he
is miserable.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He probably had to have him drained. Possibly broken orbital there or two. So, yeah, that couldn't have been pleasant. Eesh. All right. Any case, we're going back to the Apex. You want to start at the bottom of the main card again?
Start with Angela Hill.
All right. Angela Hill getting in there with Luana Pinheiro, the Judica Luana Pinheiro against the Muay Thai striker Angela Hill, who it'll be interesting to see these two tie up because, you know, judo works a lot from the clinch, and Angela Hill is fantastic in the clinch. So I'm really interested to see the intricacies of the clinch battle in this fight. Angela Hill is, I think, 11-13 in the UFC, but, you know, she's been around for 10 years. She's had some good runs. She's had some bad runs. Been a while since she finished a fight, 4 years. She TKO'd Hannah Cyphers back in 2020. But what are the odds here?
Hill is a -148 versus on the other side, it's +124. Man, Angela Hill's always one of those fighters that she seems better than she is on paper. And I think it's like what you hinted is like, especially like 2020, I think didn't she lose like Macy Barber? She lost two like really big fights back to back. And I think that kind of like,
It was Claudia Gadelha and Michelle Waterson. Okay. And they were both really close decisions that a lot of people think she should have won. But yeah, it took a lot of the wind out of her sails.
And then she'll win a couple and then lose one. But I know Luana's got that judo, but I think I'm going to go with Hill here. And that is because I can't even picture Luana in my head. So that's probably why.
All right, fair enough. I kind of, you know, I like Angela Hill a lot, and I think she's a great competitor, but I think if she can't finish Luana, she's going to lose another close decision here. It's just, unfortunately, Angela Hill is the queen of losing split decisions. So that's kind of how I see this one going, and I hope I'm wrong.
Pinero is win by submission. It's plus 900. Not submission. Damn it. Decisions plus 200.
Okay.
Not that good. Never mind.
Yeah. She's got a bunch of submissions outside of the UFC, but has not had any inside of the UFC yet. And she was knocked out by Amanda Ribas in her last fight. That was way back in November.
So, anyway, I'm sticking with Angela.
All right. Good call. Don't listen to me. I always make you lose money. Of course, when you don't listen to me, it's going to be when I'm right. That's the way this is going to go.
Yeah, it's all going to work out.
All right. Vinicius Salvador against Adrian Yanez. Bantamweight fight. That's all I got on it. What are the odds and who do you like?
Minus 395 for Yanez. Plus 310 for Salvador.
So this is
Salvador is 2-0-2 in the UFC. Yanez has lost his last two fights, but they were against some pretty badass dudes.
Yeah, Rob Font and Jonathan Martinez.
So I'm going to go with – I'm not going to bet on this fight.
Okay.
I'm going to take my dollar and move it somewhere else.
It's weird. It's weird someone being such a big favorite coming off of two losses.
Nope. You know what? I'm switching it up. You didn't change my mind. I did it before you spoke.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Salvador.
I'm glad you clarified that. Okay, and we got this one's going to be a nightmare for the broadcasters. Ramiz Brahimi against Temba Garimbo. Welterweight fight here. 12-4 for Garimbo against the 10-4 Ramiz Brahimi.
Bill, do you know who these guys are?
No.
Me neither.
So what are the odds?
Razamai is... Plus 124, Garimbo is minus 148.
The odds makers don't know who they are either.
I'm going to take the underdog in this fight simply because I looked at them on SureDog, and Garimbo's has lost by submissions, and Brahimi's got some submissions.
Damn, and Garimbo's had four fights in the UFC, or three fights in the UFC. He got submitted in his UFC debut, though. All right. Well, what do we know, I guess? Probably going to be fight of the night.
Hopefully.
All right. Kalen Williams and Carlston Harris in the co-main event here. I feel like we haven't seen Kalen Williams in a while, so I'm curious when his last fight was. Yeah, it was a year ago, May 6, 2023, a little over a year ago. And that was a split decision win over Rolando Bedoya. What are the odds here?
Kalen Williams minus 125. Harris plus 105. I'm going with the underdog here again.
Yeah.
I think he's, to me, he's undefeated in the UFC because his one loss is to Rakhmonov. He has a win over Michael Pereira in 2015, who will Pereira end up beating Williams later on. And I'm just picking underdogs tonight.
All right. Fair enough. Truck
payment to make.
Are you sticking with that in the main event, which is Edson Barboza and Lerone Murphy? This is an interesting matchup. Two really explosive strikers. You know, Lerone Murphy just has age on his side here.
Yeah, but Barboza he's had some luck defeating these up and comers.
Also true.
So like the odds on this one is Barboza is the underdog at plus 130, Murphy minus 155. If I see For some reason, I keep seeing Murphy by decision.
Okay, so what are you liking?
But that isn't... It's only plus 165. Let's go with Barboza. I started the card with the veteran. I'll end with the veteran.
Yeah, well, when I said I would be... I don't know if I said it exactly like this. I would be surprised if you kept picking the underdogs in the main event. I thought that Lerone Murphy would be the underdog, but what do I know? Yeah, I guess.
I guess I'll double check.
You know, Barboza has that win over our buddy Billy Q.
Oh, you're right. I'm wrong. No, you're right. I'm right.
Yeah. Who's right? Who's on first?
Barboza is the underdog.
Okay. And what are the odds again?
Plus 130, minus 155.
All right, so it's close. You're not getting, like, huge underdog odds on Barboza, but you're still getting Edson Barboza for dog money. So, yeah, I'm not mad at that pick. All right, so let's lock those in.
They're locked in already.
And I got to remember to actually, like, post who your picks are.
Yeah, we keep saying that, but we keep forgetting.
Yeah, I've been saying it for 27 episodes now.
Man, that's crazy.
All right, so let's move on. You got some other stuff?
I got a bit. We're talking all this talk about dogs. Or I don't have video, but there's some flooding going down in Brazil, and I saw some cool video this week of Michael Pierre just rescuing dog after dog after dog from the floodwaters, and I don't know, I think he deserves some props for that.
Wow. Was he, like, jumping in the water and grabbing these dogs?
Oh, yeah, he's doing it all. He's coming in on boats and jet skis, and he's got the rubber boots and water and rubber pants on so no water gets in, and he's busting into, you know, flooded houses and pulling the dog out of there. And, I mean, they had a serious amount of dogs. Like, they're doing some real charity. And, you know, all the talk, negative talk in MMA media, I don't know why they don't. I mean, that's some cool stuff there.
Yeah, I haven't even heard anything about that. I need to look that up. But I guess we wouldn't in this.
No. So, do you know, I have a trivia question for you.
Okay.
I don't know where I... Okay, this is the warm-up. Do you know what boxing match is going on this weekend?
Yeah, it's the heavyweight championship, is it not?
Yes.
Tyson Fury and Alexander Usyk?
Yes. And they are fighting for the WBC, WBA, WBO, and IBF titles. So the belts.
All of those.
My question to you is, when was the last time this happened? Who, and give me the decade, and I'll take a shot.
So I have to give you the name of the fighter and what decade?
Fighters, the name of the fight and what decade.
Jeez. I guess it's not any time recent then.
We were alive.
Huh?
We were alive.
Was Tyson one of them?
Nope.
Huh. I don't know. I'll just guess Holyfield and Lennox Lewis.
What decade?
That was the 90s.
Damn it.
Yes.
I got another Pink Whitney.
I mean, I should probably do half a shot because you gave me the Tyson hint. Oh, and I have some of the Pink Whitney too.
Oh, there you go. Straight hit. Just take a hit.
I'll do half it. Although, even for us. even for a second guess. Wait, you like the Pink Whitney?
I mean, it's not good. It's not great. But of all the, this is my favorite of all the shots I've had to take.
Of all the bad stuff?
Yeah. Oh, that mango shot of that orange one's pretty good.
Oh, yeah, that would be good. This Pink Whitney stuff might be good, like chilled, maybe.
Well, I had this, I put this in the freezer today just for that reason.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
It's definitely even, better cold.
Although, so I did the half a shot because you gave me the hint, but I'm pretty proud of myself for getting that.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I was like, I already won. I'm like, whew. And then you just, like, last second.
I don't know what even made me guess that.
You pulled a Max Holloway.
Yeah. I guess I'm blessed today. Man, I don't know why. I definitely didn't know that. I just pulled those two names out of my ass completely.
Isn't it like, weird that this is such a big fight and hardly anybody knows about it?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, for boxing legacy, it's a big fight, but that says a lot about the state of boxing legacy right now.
That's where I was getting to. It doesn't seem too important.
Yeah, I mean, boxing has just become like a circus sideshow. The sideshow freaks have taken over the main ring of the circus.
Yeah, I mean, back to my point earlier, Joaquin Buckley is above the headlines of this fight because he called out Conor McGregor.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
I'll be watching. I'm excited to watch.
I hope that we never see MMA in this state where it's like we have the heavyweight championship of the world on the line, but everybody's talking about the following week some celebrity MMA match in some organization that doesn't even mean anything.
Yeah.
I hope we never see that day because that would be a sad day for me as a longtime MMA fan. Like I would be, if I was more of a boxing fan, I would probably be pretty upset that like nobody gives a shit about.
Are you familiar with street beefs?
Yes.
Does that kind of lean into that or that doesn't bother you?
No, I don't care about that. It's like bum fights. Do you remember bum fights?
Yeah, I remember bum. I view it a step over bum fights. I mean, you know, they're protecting their fighters somewhat, and it's not.
They're not paying them in crack.
Yeah, I don't know. I enjoy watching this because it seems more. It's more like what a real fight would be.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, the last Instagram video I put, it was armbar defense tip that was from a street
beef. Oh, yeah, that was street beef.
Yeah. So that's kind of my new thing is breaking down ridiculous fights, man versus alligator, street beefs. Since I get shadow banned for posting any UFC clips,
yeah, might as well. The car jitsu next.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You can't do power slap, so. Yeah, car jitsu.
Yeah, not a whole lot of technique to break down there.
Yeah, but they probably have the UFC legal team on their side, too.
Oh, yeah. That's true. Oh, forget it. I'm not touching that. I'll get my YouTube channel taken down. Probably can't even mention it.
Oops.
Right.
So there are some big fight announcements today.
Yeah, let's get into that.
For the July card in, I think, Manchester.
Yeah.
Bilal Muhammad is finally getting his well-deserved title shot.
Yeah. Mark Fellows earlier in the show left this comment. He said, I heard UFC offered every welterweight on the roster the Edwards fight before Bilal got the call. Happy for him, though. I feel like a lot of us feel that same way. And supposedly a couple of other people were asked. Are the rumors that happened.
You think they think this fight is going to be the most unwatched, or they're just terrified of him being Bilal becoming the champion?
Yeah, I think that's more what it is. They don't want someone And I don't think they're totally thrilled with Leon Edwards being the champion, to tell you the truth. He's, you know, he's a huge star in the UK, but, you know,
I ain't seen anything from him in months.
Yeah. He's super quiet, keeps to himself. And yeah, I mean, just doesn't do a whole lot to get fans on his side. So the UFC doesn't want to see that. But I think Bilal pushes it in the other direction, where he has a following of people that just hate him. And for no apparent reason. He seems like a really nice guy. I mean, he's a good fighter.
Fight his ass off.
Yeah. But people just love to hate that guy.
Yeah, well, they don't like him because he doesn't do things like call Conor McGregor out after his fights.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, this fight was a hard sell too, because we saw a round of them fighting and it wasn't going well for Bilal at all. And then he got poked in the eye and everybody was like, okay, we don't need to see that again. And that was kind of the consensus, even though he's definitely earned this title shot. People are just like, yeah, but we don't want it. And, yeah, we'll you know, it. Generally the fans kind of dictate what happens until, you know, it gets to a point where the guy's undeniable. And that's kind of where he's at right now.
Yeah, but I mean, look at the star power of the main event of our last pay-per-view. This one is way bigger. I mean, and then there's a co-main event to follow it up of Aspinall versus Blades.
Yeah, which is interesting. Let's talk about that, because normally it goes by weight class, right? So normally the heavyweight championship would be the headliner, but since it's an interim heavyweight championship, it's going to be the co-main event. And this is going to be the first time in history that an interim belt is defended, which is kind of interesting.
It's a damn shame.
It's weird. And it's a damn shame. Why?
I don't know. Props to Aspinall for accepting this fight. But I just don't understand the things that John Jones is allowed to do. I mean,
yeah. I mean, it looks like, I don't know. It's a weird thing. It's almost like they want John Jones to have the opportunity to retire as the greatest ever. And they want him to be the linear heavyweight champion and have a title defense. Because it seems like he wants to defend the title against Stipe and then retire. And I guess they want to grant that to him.
But from the fans' perspective, that wouldn't be true. Like, if that played out, I would say, well, no, the UFC and John Jones avoided Tom Aspinall and what's his name? Alex Pereira.
Yeah, but that buzz would die down, and over time on paper, it would be John Jones was the greatest light heavyweight of all time. He won the heavyweight title. He defended it. He retired.
The UFC wants their Michael Jordan.
Yeah, pretty much. And I think, so Aspinall had no choice to take this fight, because otherwise what would happen is John Jones and Stipe aren't going to fight until like September is what I'm hearing. Those are the rumblings I'm hearing. So then,
well, it wouldn't be September, because September is the Sphere card.
Okay. So somewhere around then, let's say it's August. It's early as August. So Aspinall holds out until then. That fight happens, and then they both retire. So he waited that long for nothing. And if they don't retire, say John Jones wins.
It's going to take him 2 years.
Yeah. John Jones, like, between, you know, possibly getting injured or arrested or, you know, having another hit and run, he takes a lot of time in between fights. It could be another 2 years that Aspinall's waiting for that fight. So, yeah, I guess go ahead and defend the interim title. It'll be interesting to see what happens. So, like, you know, they put, like, the little rubies on the belts. Does Aspinall get get a title defense ruby if he beats Curtis Blaydes here?
Yes, but it's a Miller Lite beer cap.
No, we're back to Bud Light.
Oh, Bud Light. Yep, yep. Sorry, UFC, Bud Light.
Bud Light
fix
beer
that cap. In post. But I was looking at Aspinall's social media, which he has a great YouTube channel. He does all kinds of things, eating competitions, all kinds of things. But he has a ton of people commenting about how he's holding up the heavyweight division. And that, to me, is the most asinine thing I've ever heard. So,
yeah.
Mr. Aspinall, if you would ever like to clear that up, you're more than welcome on this show. But I support you.
Yeah. Hell yeah. You got to drink some whiskey. Speaking of which, I was listening to the...
There's one more fight I want to talk about on that.
Okay, one more fight. Go for it.
And that is Bobby Green versus Paddy Pimblett.
Oh, okay. That's on the Manchester card too?
Yes.
I didn't even hear about that one.
Yeah, I'm kind of bummed that our buddy Frivola didn't get the Pimblett fight, but I'm down to have some Bobby Green, Paddy Pimblett back and forth.
Yeah, I mean, Bobby Green's going to knock his block off.
Well, I mean, he's a huge opening favorite. He's huge.
Yeah, I mean, unless something has drastically changed with Paddy Pimblett's striking and his wrestling has gotten a lot better, I don't see how he wins this fight.
It closed. The odds closed. Now it's plus 160. He was like a plus 600 this morning.
Oh, people probably bet a lot of money on him then.
Yeah, who do you think's favorite in Tom Aspinall, Curtis Blaydes? Opening favorite.
If I were setting the odds, Aspinall would be the favorite, but Curtis Blaydes has a win over him, even though it was due to an injury, so they might set him as a slight favorite.
Aspinall's minus 198, Blaydes plus 164.
Okay.
And what about the main event?
I think Leon's probably a heavy favorite.
Yeah, minus 285, plus 230 for Bilal.
Okay. Yeah, that's about right. I mean, you know, we saw a round of them competing, and it was pretty one-sided, so it makes sense. Some people could potentially make a lot of money on Bilal Muhammad, though. But back to the point I was getting at, and this is kind of related to that because I know John Anik is a big Bilal Muhammad fan, and Bilal has a podcast on the Anik and Florian network. So I was listening to the Anik and Florian show today, and they had Laura Sanko on as a guest, and she was talking about how she tries to damage her voice before doing a broadcast. So she was smoking cigarettes out behind the arena. And I guess it's a thing. And Kenny Florian had suggested to her that he hears that whiskey does the trick, which is yet another hint that I think John Anik and Kenny Florian listen to MMA on the Rocks because I mean, there's just so many signs.
Yeah, it's getting a little odd. I'm on to you, John Anik.
Yeah, we're on to you guys. And listen, if you want to come on and deny it, we'll have it out. Mark Fellows says Bill would make the world's greatest commentator as long as they keep supplying me whiskey. I will actually be making my commentary debut in July. I guess I'll just say this now for a local Muay Thai promotion. So if you want to hear me doing fight commentary, you can follow. I should have the name of the promotion handy. I just don't want to miss say it. Sunset Fight Promotions LLC on Instagram. I will be doing the commentary for that promotion along with my buddy and bare knuckle boxing top contender J.R. Ridge. Hopefully they'll let me drink a little whiskey before the show because apparently that's the magic potion.
Yeah, what's the drink of choice in Thailand?
They drink a lot of beer. They drink that like tiger beer.
That tiger beer.
Yeah.
That's what you need.
I forget what it's called. Yeah, maybe I'll have a couple of tiger beers before I...
You could probably get the same effect of damaging your voice by just, like, singing along to, like, Disturbed for 30 or 40 seconds.
Yeah, although that guy, he's got, like, this world-renowned vocal coach that he works with, and supposedly his voice sounds exactly the same before and after a show.
He's been doing it a long time.
Yeah, he seems like a super intelligent guy, too. Like, he does, like, all vocal warm-ups and stuff. He doesn't go out there and kill his throat.
Yeah, I think any rock band that makes it 20-plus years at the top, they're not some stupid rocker that, you know.
Yeah. I have to say, I saw Disturbed at Ozfest, I want to say, in 2007, maybe. And they were the co-headliner to System of a Down, and I was more excited to see System of a Down. I liked some Disturbed songs, but I was like, yeah, they're okay. I have to say, Disturbed live was incredible. They blew it out of the water, and then System of a Down came out, and I don't know what was going on. Maybe it was just a bad show, but they turned off the monitors. You know, they have the screens that you can watch when you're sitting, like, far away. They turned those off, and the guys were out there on the stage, but it sounded like they were just playing along to the CD.
Yeah. I mean, some bands have it. I mean, I've seen Disturbed several times. They're just one of those bands that Seether and Slipknot are all in this group, that they just have ability to kill it. They can produce what you hear on the album live, and some bands can't. Then, yeah, you got to get props to this.
Some bands do it better.
Yeah, to me, and I'm not a, I don't put Seether on my radio ever, but Seether live they're pretty damn good.
Yeah, I've seen some groups like that. I've seen Metallica is one of those bands for me. Their live show is just awesome. I've seen them, I think, 6 times. And here's what did it for me. I saw them twice on the same tour. I saw them in Albany, New York, where I was going to college. And then 2 weeks later, I saw them in Long Island, New York. And they played 2 completely different shows. Just because they have so many songs. And, you know, they played all the staples, like Enter Sandman and all that, Master Puppets, the stuff they have to play. But other than that, it was like a completely different set. But meanwhile, the opener was Godsmack, and they played the exact same show, from the banter in between songs to the songs they played and the order they played them in. Everything was exactly the same.
Yeah. But Godsmack doesn't have a library to pull from.
That's true.
But
well, they didn't. To be fair, they've
been doing music for 30 years, so that's their fault, not Metallica's.
Yeah, but I mean, Metallica has, I don't know, 25 albums or something.
Yeah,
something ridiculous. So
I only have one more fight announcement, and this one's odd to me. They added something to the undercard of the Mike Tyson and Jake Paul fight. And it is Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. Versus Darren Till.
Wow. Okay.
That just seemed weird. And I know I just killed the vibe there, but that's what that fight does to me when I heard about it. Like, what the hell?
Yeah,
what a fall from grace for Mr. Darren Till.
Yeah. Yeah, that's horrible.
And is it, you know, Mike Perry wanted to fight him in bare knuckle, and is it, and Till's excuse was he's too big. Like, I'm too big. Which I don't think that bare knuckle fight was offered, because that's bad.
How big is Chavez Jr.?
Probably pretty big because he ain't been fighting in a while, right?
I gotta Google this now.
Ahead of you. Oh, wait. He held the middleweight title from 2011 to 2012. He's 38 years old.
He's 164 pounds.
Yeah, so he's fighting a smaller guy.
So Darren Till is too big to fight Mike Perry, but he's going to fight a 164-pound boxer?
Yep. Man, that guy looks like that. He looks like Pete. What's that guy named?
Pete Davidson?
Yeah.
He looks like he could have been in Menudo. What's Chavez Jr.'s record? 53-6-1. He's got half the wins that his dad had.
Damn, that's a lot of fights though.
Yeah, it is a lot of fights. That just shows how many fights his dad had. His dad's a friggin' legend. All right. Well,
I mean, I guess Darren Till's making money. So props to him, but
sure,
man,
it's interesting because the downfall of Darren Till's MMA career started with the loss to Tyron Woodley, and Tyron Woodley's career ended with this celebrity boxing nonsense. So this is like everything coming full circle now.
Yeah, but at least Woodley, he's probably got paid much more than Mr. Darren Till's getting for this fight.
Yeah, but he also got embarrassed much more.
I mean, did you hear his raps?
Fair enough. All right, let's end it on that. If you guys want to get some MMA on the Rocks merchandise, it's Reaper1.co is the website. MMA Rocks 10 is the promo code. Get an over the top, under the influence t-shirt, tank top, or hoodie. Although I don't know who would want a hoodie in this weather, unless you are listening from Antarctica or somewhere that it's always cold.
San Francisco.
Yeah, if you're listening from San Francisco. But yeah, let me know in the comments what you guys think about these fight announcements. Are you looking forward to these fights? Are we underselling them? Because there wasn't really... The only one we were really excited about was the Rose Namajunas. So if you guys disagree, let us know. Send me some... Oh, here's the other thing I wanted to say. Send me some wacky fight videos. Tag me on Instagram. It has to be something that I can find on YouTube as well so that I can do a breakdown of it. So if you guys find anything interesting that you want me to do one of these green screen breakdowns for, please send it my way. You can DM it to me at MMA on the Rocks or just tag me in it. And I'll do the best I can to keep up with my notifications, which I'm not the best at doing. All right. That's all we got. Drink Four Roses single barrel. Don't think just because it's in a girly bottle, it's not good whiskey. That's all we got. So until next time, cheers, everybody. Goodbye.